had a little trouble with the tape recorders, and I'm not positive that everything's okay, but I think everything's okay. We've turned over the cassettes in both tape recorders and are ready to start again. It's now just after 12 o'clock noon, and we'll go until Grant wants to stop, and then we'll go to lunch, and we can continue after lunch for all I care, Grant. Be happy to. You were going to talk about the fourth day on the war parties, as I recall, when we stopped.
Okay, on the fourth day after the ceremony, action was almost imminent at this point. And if the enemy had not been sighted at this time, then it was up to the war party leader to send the scouting party a little farther or to a certain point. But usually the war party leader or the chief of the scouts had a dream at this point and was certain about the location of the enemy at this point. Like I said, the war party was religious, had a lot of religious rituals in it. So at this point, the whole war party was under the protection of the medicine bundle of the war party leader, and also the chief of the scouts. Nobody else could not open their bundle, medicine bundle, at this point. But on the fourth day, they could, if they wanted to, open their own individual. The war party leaders open their own individual medicine bundles, and do whatever they had to, because battle was imminent at this time. And they were free to travel at this point. They could travel in the daytime if they wanted to, long distances. If they thought that the enemy was at a great distance, then they could travel at daytime and go as fast as they wanted to. And or either that, send a scouting party out to where they thought that the enemy might be. But individuals could open their medicine bundles at this point and do whatever was necessary for battle. And during the night of the third day, individual members, if they thought that they were going to be killed in a battle, could ask their friends to give certain things that they owned, certain horse or a war shirt to a certain member of to certain relatives or friends. So this was writing, more or less writing a will. And this was rarely done, but on occasion it was done. But they always thought positive. They always thought positive. They never thought negatively. But this was done. This was the reason why they, why all the members came together at this point. They did whatever was necessary. So on the fourth day, they were free to travel as fast and as far as they wanted to. The you had to be a chief of the scouts in order to be considered to be a war party leader. So it was so strenuous that you had to go through this matter of being a scout at a very young age, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. By the time you were 18, then you probably had enough war honors and became a chief of the scouts, so you could be a war party leader at this time. So 18 was probably, you could become a war party leader at the age of 18, but you had to go through the ritual of being a scout and also a chief of the scouts, and even to be considered to be a war party leader. So it was an important thing to accomplish. If you had never been a scout or had never been a chief of the scouts, and you could not be a war party leader. So the younger you did it, the better it was, because it was so strenuous. So that had to be done if you wanted to be a prominent member of the tribe. On the fourth day, they usually went, and then when the scouts sighted the enemy, when the enemy was discovered, they also had to go through a ritual. When the enemy was sighted, they would howl like wolves, like a wolf. The chief of the scouts would, or whoever in the scouting party had sighted the discovered the enemy, he would howl like a wolf. And this was done 4 times. And if the scouting party was scattered, then they realized what was happening. They knew that the enemy had been discovered. So they would all come together at a designated place after the discovery. And then they would all run back. They would put on their wolf pelts on the back and paint their faces. And then they would run all the way back. And when they got within an area where they could be, where they could seen by their friends, by their comrades, then they would stop again and howl like wolves and run back and forth. And then all the members of the war party knew that the enemy had been discovered, knew where they were at. Then they would run, so the war party leaders that were not in the scouting party would gather up buffalo chips. And they would pile it up into a kind of a pyramid. They would make a pyramid out of buffalo chips. And then they would sit in a circle facing the direction of the scouting party. And so at this point, the war party leader would get his pipe out and put tobacco in it and have it ready to be lighted. Get a coal or something, so that he could immediately light his pipe. So again, after the scouting party had howled like wolves, then they would run back acting like wolves would, or coyotes. Sometimes they would act like coyotes or wolves, but they would not run in a straight line. They would run in a zigzag line, go zigzagging back and forth. And at a certain point, they would stop and point in the direction of the enemy. And after this was done 3 times, the leader of the scouting party would run up and kick the buffalo chip that was piled into a pyramid. He would scatter it. This symbolized the enemy, which would be scattered during the battle. So this was an important part of the ceremony, also a ritual, the scattering of the buffalo chips, which symbolized the enemy. And it was kicked and scattered as much as the war part, the scouting chief was able to it when he came up to his friends. And after he had kicked the pile, then he would point where the direction of the enemy and give directions to find where the enemy could be found. And then a certain song was sung at this point after the chief of the scouts started the song, then everybody joined in and sang the song. Which and the words are to this song is, the enemy is over yonder. The enemy thinks he is a man, but I will eat the heart of the enemy. So after that was sung, I think 3 times, or maybe it was one. I don't know. I'm not sure at this point. But everything is done 3 or 4 times. So maybe it was sung 3 times, and then the pipe was lit and given to the chief of the scouts, who smoked the pipe, and then he would ask for whatever he wanted, a horse or to kill an enemy or count coup. He was the first one to ask for it, and then he would give it back to the war party leader, and the war party leader would either say, "Your wish is granted, your wish is granted," and then all the members of the party would smoke the pipe, and after that they would set out towards the enemy, where the enemy was located. So there was always a ritual that had to be done on a war party leader. They just did not go out and look for the enemy helter-skelter, you know, just with no object in mind. And the object was never to kill the enemy, but to harass him and to capture horses sometimes, and to make a fool of the enemy was the main object. engaging certain rituals and certain ceremonies during everyday life. Only members of, you know, people that went on war parties could do certain things. And even in a teepee where people were gathered to eat, individual seats were given to individual members who went on war parties. And it all depended on how many war honors they had. And the place of honor was on the west side of the teepee, the middle, opposite of the door, the middle. On the right-hand side was the place of honor. And then the lesser you had war honors, the closer you came to the door. And the person that had the less war honors had to sit by the door. So this was, in everyday life, it carried over the people that went on war parties, what they had accomplished, and how many times they went on war parties carried on into everyday life. And even when people visited another person, then they would be given water, they would be given fresh water, and the man that had the most war honors was given the water first, and then on down the line. It all depended on your war honors. And in a ceremony, only certain people could light. A pipe was always used in a ceremony, so certain members that accomplished certain deeds in warfare could light a pipe, could light the pipe, or and then pass it around. Or sometimes water was used in the ritual, so only certain members that were chief of scouts could go and get the water. So this and or. Certain people that went on war party had the right to speak in public. So it carried on to everyday life what you had accomplished in the war party. And it was a great accomplishment. Also, it was not one of the war deeds that had to be, that counted towards a war party leader. But it was a great accomplishment to be the first one to discover the enemy. So you could boast about it like in a, in a dance, if you were asked to. If you were picked to talk about your deeds, this was one of the things that you could talk about. You say, on a certain day I went and discovered the enemy, the first one to sight the enemy. And in Ko, it's called Bajikyakwa. So, and there was also a ritual that was done when they discovered the enemy and they came back, and either you came back to the friendly war party or a camp, then there was a certain ritual that was done. So, it was a great accomplishment to be the first one to discover the enemy. Yeah, I think we better stop at this point.
Okay. Grant, before we do, you talked about the scouts running back and forth at one point about 5 minutes ago or so. What pattern did they run in?
It symbolized being very elusive, not you know, to if the enemy discovered the war party, then it symbolized their elusiveness, you know, not being discovered right away, because surprise was an important part of the war party because of their small numbers, and they were fighting larger numbers. Surprise was the most important element. And also being very elusive that they could dodge the bullets or the arrows that the enemy might be shooting at them. And this was very symbolic, and it was part of the ritual. And they only picked the fastest people, to go on war parties. Sometimes some people were not fast, but could run for long distances, like a marathon runner. So that's why they picked these people.
But when you say that they ran back and forth, did they zigzag or did they go in a figure eight or in circles? Or?
Sometimes they zigzagged, and sometimes they were, it all depended on their own individual medicine. Sometimes they would go in a circle, three circles, and then on the fourth they would run in a straight line toward the pile. But most of the time they would zigzag like a wolf would run or a coyote would run. So these people named, had a special name. They call it the Bhutawasa. This is the ritual from running from a certain point towards the friendly, the war party. It's the ritual is called Bhutawasa. Sometimes people were named for this accomplishment, for having accomplished this deed.
Okay, thanks. We'll go to lunch now. to do any more taping today. Grant gave me some very interesting information about a site that we have been calling in archaeology Wall with Writing in Carbon County, Montana. I'll write that up in a separate memo, but I'm talking into this tape recorder mainly to correct the date that I put at the beginning of this tape. The date is actually Wednesday, January 5, 1994. End of recording on this cassette.